This is Tuesday, April 26th, 2016. It's the dawn of a wild time and a new standard in Hearthstone. I chat with a pair of hosts from BlizzPro's Overwatch podcast, and sound the alarms! Two of you sent me feedback from last week. This is episode 190.
When the servers go down, we'll tell you what's up. You're listening to Realm Maintenance.
Ladies and gentlemen, old gods and heroes, podcasters and podcastees, welcome to the show. My name is Ro, and thank you as always for downloading this week. And here is the rolling restart.
Now I've got a tale to tell you. Of the whispers of the old gods.
You know, there's a few ways I could have started out this week's show, and in the end, I decided to go with the fun option. For me, that's Hearthstone and the release of Whispers of the Old Gods, which not only adds over 130 new cards, but introduces the standard format as well. Now, on a lot of Hearthstone podcasts, you've heard hosts analyze each and every card as it's been released and how playable it's going to be in the new meta. I'd like to spend a few minutes talking about a few cards that I love so much that I'll likely end up crafting them if I don't open them out of a pack. The catch here, however, is that what I'm looking for is what's fun, not necessarily the cards that are going to be the most efficient, the most meta-defining, the new Dr. Seven, as it were. Competitive play is kind of important to me. Every once in a while, I get that itch to make that push for Legend. But right now, building fun decks with crazy, wacky possibilities, it's what's really on the forefront of my mind. So, without further ado, here are five of my favorite Whispers of the Old Gods cards in no particular order. First off is an epic card called Cabalist Tome. It lets you add three random mage spells to your hand for 5 mana. Now, the fun thing about this is one of those spells you could get from the tome could be another Cabalist Tome. And you're reloading on spells without burning through your deck at the same time, so you can play kind of a control mage deck, or just a deck that loves to cast a whole bunch of spells while, you know, kind of holding back on the number of creatures that you put in the deck. You can have a little bit of everything. And there's a bit of fun from the whole randomness of it all. For me, random is fun. I know it's not necessarily fun for everyone, but for me, random is kind of fun. I feel like you're going to see this card a lot in many mage decks, even ones that are tournament worthy. The next card is also an epic, and it's for Rogue, which is a class that I don't play all that often, but man, after seeing this card, I feel like I need to build a Rogue deck around this. So it's called Shadowcaster. It also costs 5 mana, and it is a 4-4 minion with a battle cry that says, choose a friendly minion, add a 1-1 copy to your hand that costs 1 mana. Now, if that sounds a little bit familiar to you, it sounded familiar to me too, because the first thing I thought of was that miniature warfare brawl where everything you played was a 1-1 that costs 1, but still had all of its other abilities. This can be a very big deal with minions that have powerful battle cries, death rattles, or other powerful effects. A 1-1 Malygos with +5 spell power sounds pretty good. A Sylvanas that you can drop for 1 mana sounds pretty good. A Ragnaros sounds pretty good. One of the best options to kind of clone and shadowcast, though, is itself. You can have 2 of these in the deck because it's an epic card. And Bran Bronzebeard from League of Explorers is freaking amazing with this. One of the things that I'm finding is that Bran has a lot of new toys to interact with. Alright, so on to legendary cards, and the first legendary I want to talk about is the Shaman Legendary called Halaziel the Ascended. It is a 4-6 for 5 mana that reads, whenever your spells deal damage, restore that much health to your hero. Now, if you saw last week's official Play Hearthstone stream, you'll know that this legendary is insane when paired up with board clear damage spells like Lightning Storm, or even better, Elemental Destruction. This legendary basically gives Shaman Burn decks another way to stay in the game without necessarily having to run Reno Jackson. I could see a deck with mostly damage spells, this card, a couple of large minions to make sure that Healing Wave has a good chance of working in your favor, and building a spell-heavy deck with a few big minions sounds like a perfect fit for the next card to talk about, which is the legendary old god that apparently many of you can't wait to craft. Yogg-Saron is my favorite not because of just nostalgia, it is chaos on a stick, a very big stick. It is a 7/5 for 10 mana, it has a battle cry that says, cast a random spell, for each spell you've cast this game, targets are chosen randomly. This is an amazing battle cry, it's even more amazing if you have Bran in play, like I talked about. Let's say you cast 6 spells in the game. You manage to drop Bran on the board, and then play Yogg-Saron. You're going to play 12 random spells for 10 mana. Now, this could be really good for you. It could also be really bad for you if you somehow get pyroblasted in the face by Yogg-Saron. I can't see this being in competitive decks at all, but this legendary is just the embodiment of chaotic fun in Hearthstone, and it's going to lead to some crazy game stories on the Angry Chicken. This is easily going to be the very first card I craft if I don't open it up today. And last but not least is a small, innocent-looking card, which is a 1-1 for 1 mana, and its name is Shifter Zaris. Now, that may not seem like a big deal for a legendary, but the card reads, each turn this is in your hand, transform it into a random minion. So, this is another way to embrace the essence of randomness, and I think it's surprisingly playable in a whole lot of different decks, even competitive ones. Each turn, it's going to change into a new minion as long as it's in your hand, right? So, it's kind of like a cross between a bonus card draw with a little bit of unstable portal mixed in. Sometimes I get the itch to try to get a high rank, but just seeing cards like this has me so hyped for Hearthstone. Hearthstone has mostly been about the fun, and each of the cards I've talked about have the potential to be a lot of fun. I am more excited for this set than I have been, I think, for any release of content for the game, and I just want to say that Team 5 has done one heck of a job with this set. It's definitely a great time to play the game, especially if you haven't ever played it before, or if it's been some time since your last match. And I'll explain part of the reason behind that, as we once again go around the world of Warcraft, and more, in 80 seconds. Up to 13 packs from Whispers of the Old Gods can be yours at no cost as long as you log in and win 9 games in the standard format during the launch celebration. Don't forget that for a limited time, a number of cards that were nerfed can be disenchanted for their full arcane dust value. Over the past week, the Legion Alpha has received a patch which included the opening of Suramar, a max level questing zone. Artifact Knowledge was also introduced to the game, which serves as a mechanism that will increase the rate that artifact power is earned, making it easier to complete additional artifacts for other specs. The Only Watch, I mean Overwatch, closed beta has finally come to an end, but open beta is just around the corner on May 3rd for those who pre-purchased the game, and on May 5th for everyone else. If you're looking for more Overwatch lore, check out the recently added digital comic for McCree on the official Overwatch site. To all you Adventures of Sanctuary, as a reminder, Season 6 of Diablo 3 starts this Friday at 5 p.m. regional time. Tracer is now available for purchase in Heroes of the Storm by everyone. The teams of Niventic and Cognitive Gaming have both qualified for the second North American regional event of the summer. And finally, general admission tickets for BlizzCon have sold out, but you can still get in the doors if you buy a ticket for the charity dinner benefiting the Children's Hospital of Orange County. Those tickets cost $750 each and go on sale on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. And that's your news. This week's podcast spotlight interview is coming up right after this.
Hi, this is Dave, aka Seraphis.
And this is Heather, also known as Zia.
You may have listened to us on the Sundering, but we are here to talk to you about something we have been doing for the past 3 years, and with the help of the community for our fourth year.
Last year, we raised over $19,000 on Kickstarter to help create the largest by fans for fans event. And this year, we want to take all of that awesome feedback and make our fourth year the best year ever. But we can't do it without the support of the community.
And we have some pretty awesome things to reward you with for backing us, like Murloc Pins drawn by John Jagger from Azeroth Roundtable. Bajira is going to assist you with getting healthy. Whammo is stepping in to add some visual swag to your social media account. And we even reserved 5 of Noxie's badges just for you.
Head over to Kickstarter and search for Con Before the Storm 2016, or head to our website at conbeforestorm.com. Thanks, and see you all at BlizzCon 2016.
It's now less than a month until Overwatch is no longer known as Only Watch by Twitch chat. Yes, I read Twitch chat. I know, I have issues, clearly. An Overwatch podcast that does not have issues, however, is The Payload. And this week I'm happy to welcome two of the hosts to talk about their show and the game itself. They're veterans to this whole realm maintenance thing, and I'm happy to talk to them once again. All the way from Denver, California and Ventura, Colorado, it's John Horseman and Jimmy Bloxham. How you two doing?
Well played, Ro. Well played.
I'm doing good. How about you, Ro?
I'm doing well. It's great to hear you guys back on the show. Of course, people may remember John from the Well Met podcast, which is still going on and going strong, and Jimmy from BlizzPro's Heroes Power Hour. So you guys kind of know the drill here. You know the kind of questions I'm going to ask. And John, as you are the ringleader of this whole thing, I was wondering if you'd talk a little bit about just how The Payload got started and what brought you, Jimmy, and your third co-host together.
Yeah, absolutely. And you hear that, Jimmy? I'm the ringleader, so don't forget that one.
I thought you just pushed the buttons.
I just pushed the buttons. We've been wanting to do an Overwatch podcast for a while. It was something that I wanted to do almost as soon as I got into podcasting and we started doing Well Met. I was like, I can't wait to do an Overwatch podcast. So I talked to Kevin a little bit. Kevin and I obviously have worked together quite a bit for Well Met. And he's like, yeah, let's definitely do it. That sounds like a really fun project. So we're like, well, we're going to need a third co-host. And actually, first on our list, I wanted to make a joke about how Jimmy was way down there, but he wasn't. He was actually right up at the top of the list. Talked to him right away. It sounds like he at least said he couldn't be more excited for it. And so here we are going about our Overwatch podcast, and it's been really great so far. It's been a lot of fun. We have a lot of people tuning in every week into our live streams and things like that. And it's just been a really great experience. And unlike Well Met, I feel like we picked up on episode one and have just, you know, kind of hit a stride early on, which feels great.
Well, I would credit that somewhat to the fact that you guys have had a little bit of experience with the whole podcasting thing. And, as this isn't your maiden voyage as far as podcasting goes, you guys got into the groove, rather quickly, I felt. Jimmy, what about you? If you could talk a little bit about, your personal background as far as these games go, because one thing when people listen to these podcasts, there are podcasters that have played FPS games all their life. There are others for whom it's their very first FPS game. Where do you stand as far as your background with these kind of games go?
I have a pretty strong experience in FPS, not in the really recent number of years before Overwatch, but early on in my life, like when I was a teenager growing up, I played a lot of Unreal Tournament. I mean, I just poured so many hours into that and Quake 3 and the likes of that. I mean, one of the first games I really played was Doom on DOS. So I had exposure to first person shooters really early on, and then StarCraft came around, and that kind of became my main game at that point. But I mean, I've played TF2 a bit and then Call of Duties here and there, but I never really got super invested into them. It was just something fun to play with friends. And then Overwatch got announced and I was like, holy crap, Blizzard is doing FPS. I have to be a part of this, to be a part of this community somehow. And that's kind of how I got hooked up with John here for Overwatch.
Okay, honest question, quick aside here, since you did mention TF2, and I hear it mentioned all the time, on a scale of 1 to TF2, TF2 being TF2, how TF2 is Overwatch?
1.
Okay, you heard it here first.
It's nice. Very different.
John, how about you? What's your FPS background like? Did you get hyped about Overwatch because it's the kind of game you want to play? Or was your pull to it more just the fact that it's something from Blizzard and they have a pretty good record?
Yes, both of those, Ro. But more specifically, I have a huge background in first-person shooters. I played on the MLG circuit during Halo 2 with my brother. And so we played quite a bit, and I really enjoy the first-person shooter genre. I am also a huge fan of Blizzard games. So in the past 5 years where I haven't been playing a shooter, When Blizzard announced one, naturally, it was a perfect fit. And I can't wait for it to come out on console on a game, on a actual platform that I can compete on.
I think you can compete on a PC. I don't think that's necessarily an issue.
We'll have to play sometime, Ro. You'll see. It's pretty bad.
Having next to no experience with console FPS games, I will take your word for it. Jimmy, for those who are new to this show, can you talk a little bit about what exactly the payload is beyond just being an Overwatch podcast, and how you feel it distinguishes itself from the several other podcasts that are covering this game?
Yeah, the payload, we really just go over the news and really try to dive in deep to all the patches and changes and really try to take a deeper look at kind of game design choices that Blizzard is purposely making with this game and really try to just have a much closer view to the game and how it's working, how it's different from other FPSs and what it really sets it apart and what Blizzard is doing uniquely in the space. But also we're at least moving forward. I think we're going to also take a glance at the competitive scene as well, similar to how Walmart does a bit. And yeah, I mean, just looking at the competitive scene, how that's going to grow out. I mean, it's obviously it's very, very early in the process, so it's a very young scene right now, but it definitely feels like that is going to be one of the big things for Overwatch here is blowing up as a competitive game. As far as us set apart from other podcasts, as far as Overwatch, I feel like myself, John, and Kevin all have extensive experience in both esports and in the Blizzard universe itself. So I think that lends a lot to just kind of having an idea of how Blizzard wants to go with this and what they're going to do for the future of the game, and kind of having a good idea of just how Blizzard brings games from launch to post-launch support of it.
Sounds good. John, Jimmy did briefly mention a little bit of a similarity to WellMet as far as how you guys tackle it. Having listened to WellMet on a pretty frequent basis, it kind of gives me a good idea for your goal as far as the kind of player base that you're aiming to approach. Would it be fair to say then that this show is definitely accessible for both casual and aspiring hardcore players of the game?
Absolutely. I think that's something for me, it's really important and dear to my heart that we are addressing as wide of a player base as possible. There will always be competitive podcasts. There will always be uber casual, but finding a way to kind of marry those two, make it accessible and interesting, informative and funny, and bringing all those things together is something that's definitely really important to us. And so I would say that's a pretty spot on assessment.
Yeah, and I definitely appreciate that. And I think that when you look at some of the more popular podcasts for Blizzard franchises, they tend to often be the shows that are able to cover a little bit of everything. And I think you guys are off to a great start so far. It's actually surprising when you consider just how long Overwatch has kind of been in everyone's minds. It's all that we're now approaching a year and a half since it was first announced at BlizzCon. With that announcement, of course, podcasts were formed right away. We were hearing news about the game on a monthly, if not weekly basis, and there's been a constant stream of stuff to talk about on Overwatch podcasts, especially when the beta was going. As people are listening to this, of course, the beta is just recently closed. I was wondering how you guys are going to be tackling the game as it moves out of beta and into launch, because things are more or less stabilized, right? You pretty much know that the game that we've seen so far, that's up to this point, that's the game we're mostly going to get at launch. So, John and Jimmy, feel free to add something later if you would. What's the plan for the show going forward once the game launches?
So this is always the scary part of starting a new podcast on a new Blizzard franchise where you don't really know how things are going to look. I would say on the most active spectrum, you've got Hearthstone podcast where stuff changes every week. There's always things to talk about. There's tournaments, there's strategy, there's news and everything. if you're running a Hearthstone podcast, you will never, ever, ever run out of things to talk about.
Ditto for Heroes too, I'd say.
Yeah, I would say Heroes is really close to that. And then on the other side of the spectrum, you have games like WoW and Diablo. When they're hot, they're hot. When they're cold, they're cold. And
then you
that
have
can,
StarCraft, which has one podcast that I'm aware of.
Oh, yeah. I can't even. As you can tell, I skipped right over StarCraft. So you know how I feel about that one. And so with that, it's really kind of scary because you're not sure. Are we going to have enough stuff to make a great hour-long show every week? Or is it something that needs to be longer or shorter? What will strategy look like in Overwatch? Will it be something that's blooming and changing and things like meta reports will come out? Or will it be relatively static and reliant on the competitive scene, the community for your weekly topics? And it's really exciting for us because every week we rack our brains on what can we talk about? What can we bring that's new and interesting and funny and entertaining into that? And so we're going to be doing a weekly show, usually about an hour long. That's been kind of the sweet spot for us so far going through beta. And then once Overwatch goes live, hopefully it will kind of stay with this pace because we're kind of happy with the pace that we're kind of getting towards the middle end of the beta where we get news every week. We're hearing about new competitive teams and tournaments and things like that. It feels like a really good pace right now.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, I think, going into live. I think the competitive scene, just based on the organizations already starting to get involved in forming teams and stuff like that, is really going to be the core for how the meta is kind of going to shift. And I feel like it's going to be a long time before there's any sort of solidified meta. I mean, right now, I think there's a little bit of a standard meta for competitive, like two tanks, two damage, two support. But I mean, it's going to shift. People are going to figure things out and see what works differently. And I think the variety of maps as well will play a large part into that as well.
Well, not only that, but one of the key things about Overwatch in that you are able to switch characters in the course of the game on the fly. I mean, you even have a meta going on, not just game to game, but minute to minute within the match itself.
Yeah, I think part of the problem with that, though, is as far as competitive is seen, it's unfortunately at this point too detrimental to switch heroes in the middle of a match because you're losing so much of that ultimate charge.
Sure.
But we could potentially see changes going forward with that. It just depends on how Blizzard feels about it and sees their data on that and how it would affect the game.
Well, you know, speaking a little bit about, you know, alt meters and everything like that, we've seen so many changes happen to Overwatch over the course of these past few months in the beta. And now that the closed beta is essentially over and done with as of the time people are listening to this show, John, what are your overall impressions of the game and the journey that it has taken from the time beta started last year?
I mean, we're definitely seeing a lot of different sides of what we love about Blizzard poured into this game. I think Jeff Kaplan has shown awesome transparency. I think he's shown the developers' willingness to listen to and kind of commune for feedback and change. And we don't know what that'll look like once it goes live, but there's a definite, it's really exciting when you talk to developers or watch developer interviews and they're so excited and overflowing with passion for their game and the world that they're creating and the community that's coming around it. And I think that's the most promising thing with Overwatch is how passionate and dedicated Blizzard is. And the fact that they're willing to reach out over 18, 19 years and create a brand new IP is absolutely huge. And you can see the care that they've taken over this last year and specifically like these last 6 months of beta to make sure that it's a successful game. It's a game that's balanced. It's new and fresh. And at the same time, it's something that is something that you want to play and you feel like you've played before, I guess, if that makes sense. It's got this familiarity to it. Mm-hmm. And the community is so quick to rally around the team, the Overwatch team, and Blizzard as a whole to kind of create something so cool. The community has already brimming with excitement and adoration for the game. And only a small percentage of people have gotten to put their hands on it consistently, and a slightly larger percentage on a couple of weekends. So once this goes to consoles, once this goes to, you know, live play, all the maps every day with all the heroes, we're just incredibly excited. And I think Blizzard's done an awesome job through the entire thing, communicating, compromising and changing where they thought one thing was right and it wasn't. And they've changed and reneged and reevaluated. And so we're just super excited.
I think it's in a really solid place. I'm a little concerned about potential lack of content, but I trust Blizzard enough that we're going to get stuff at a relatively quick pace post-launch. And I mean, I'm really excited because they said there's going to be no DLC as far as maps and heroes, I believe, going forward. So, I mean, that is super cool, and I'm really excited to see...
Well, no paid DLC, anyhow.
Paid DLC. Like,
there'll be a new content, just
yeah,
won't have to
yeah.
be...
Right. Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, there will be content coming post-launch, but there you just won't have to pay real money for it, thankfully. And, yeah, I just think the game's in a really good spot, and I think my concerns are pretty minor as far as the content stuff, because they have communicated that they're bringing out new stuff. And, I mean, the beta has constantly had, like, new maps and these new play modes come out, so... I'm just excited for launch. I'm a little bummed we'll have a few weeks in there that we won't be able to play, but...
Open beta. You won't be able to play for 3 weeks.
I know. Open beta is coming soon, and that will be the, I think, the real test of the servers, and really seeing if Blizzard is prepared for the onslaught of new players.
We'll see how many people end up calling it Lagwatch that weekend. That's to be certain.
Oh my goodness.
Really quick, Jimmy, since you had brought up post-launch content, I'd just like to ask each of you really quickly, what's the next thing you hope to see from the game post-launch? Do you think the game needs more? The game could always use more heroes. or are you looking for more maps? What's the very next thing you'd like to see come to the game?
I'd like to see maps first, although I feel like we'll see a hero come relatively soon, because the last set of heroes were November for BlizzCon. Mm-hmm. So I think we'll see heroes, yeah, like I said, very soon after. I mean, they've basically been teasing that there are heroes coming in. They're like, hey, there's hints in the game. Go look for them. And I don't think anyone's really found anything significant yet. But also, when they... first talked about Overwatch at BlizzCon 2 years ago, there was that poster, and like, I think like 10 of those heroes like are not even in the game yet. Mm-hmm. So it'll be fun to see how they plan to do out this content going forward.
Not to mention those profiles you saw in the whole Winston cinematic, right?
Yes. Right.
Where everything flashes really quickly and makes you wonder.
Yeah, that's the other thing, is I want to see how they're going to expand the story going forward for this, because the story just it just screams that it's so rich and there's going to be a lot of really good stuff to tell here. Mm-hmm. And I find it interesting that they're going the route of not telling it through the game as much, but just through all these other avenues. The digital shorts have been just excellent so far, and I'm looking forward to everything that they're coming out with, the graphic novels, the comics. I mean, I'm like, Blizzard, just give it to me. I want to consume all this story content for Overwatch.
I want more, and I want it now. John, how about you? What's the next thing you hope to see from the game post-launch? Are you in agreement with Jimmy? You want to see another hero or two or four or 10?
All right, let me tell you a story of a young boy who played a game called Halo with 6 to 7 maps, one loadout. You maybe played a couple different weapons. You had one character.
Uphill in the snow both ways.
And I played that game 60 hours a week. I swear to God, I played that so much. So I feel not overwhelmed, but overjoyed with content that we have for Overwatch. Of course, I welcome more. For me, though, it's world building. I feel like that's a huge, huge piece of loyalty that Blizzard's going to have with this game, is as they create this world and tell this story and come out with these digital shorts and graphic novels and short stories and all these different things. Those are the things that I'm actually most excited about, because I think the game's awesome. It's a multiplayer game. It's a multiplayer first-person shooter. And while from a podcasting perspective, you know, that doesn't always sound the most exciting, as everyone playing the same matches on the same you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 maps with the same 21 heroes. In the end, that is enough for an incredible game. But what they do outside of that to make the game more intriguing, more exciting, to make you want to play those characters, and you're not just shooting as Tracer because she's the best hero at the time, but you feel like, I identify with this hero and their story, and I'm excited to play this hero because of what they stand for, or I like playing the bad guy, and Reaper is the bad guy, and I want to see more of that, and I want to know more about that, and that's why Reaper is my favorite. I think is one of the coolest things about Overwatch, and honestly, one of the challenges Blizzard has for a game that they want people to hero switch, but they make the emotional ties so strong with these heroes that I don't really want to play a hero that I think is a jerk like Widowmaker. I want to play my Tracers. I've always been a White Knight good guy. I love all the good guys, and so I love playing.
No, right? Sad. I like Max, so, D.Va for life.
D.Va for life. And so, you know, those heroes, there's a strong emotional attachment to those heroes. And I honestly think that Blizzard's kind of cut themselves a little bit, like, oh man, this is kind of tough to encourage, you know, people to do this when they like these heroes so much and they identify with these heroes so much. But for me, it's all about the out of world content. Of course, new maps, new heroes, like that's going to be great. But I think for a while, I think we're really good on the content that we have, and we just need to, I just want to learn more about the world.
There's a lot of people who have not yet experienced this game, and there's going to be plenty of time for them to enjoy everything that Overwatch has to offer. And there's plenty of time for people to enjoy everything that you guys have to offer with your podcast. Gentlemen, it has been a pleasure having you both on. I'm looking forward to continuing adventures with you guys from the payload. Jimmy, thank you very much. John, once again, thank you. And John, if you could tell my listeners where, when, and how they can get connected with the Payload Podcast.
Absolutely. You can find us on Twitter at Payload Podcast. You can email us at the payload. And I think we're at overwatch.blizzpro.com. I'm at KicksTripod. Jimmy's at DJ Tyrant. And Kevin, of course, our dear friend and comrade, is at Lack of Realism on Twitter. And I think that's all. I think that's all the stuff. We're on youtube.com/blizzpro. We do audio and video, and twitch.tv/blizzpro. Thursdays, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time there as well. Wow, that was a long trail. I thought I had it all, and then just, oh yeah, I forgot about these. So those are all the ones, I promise.
Sounds good. Once again, Jimmy and John, thank you very much. Good luck with your continuing episodes, and we'll see you in May.
See you in May, Ro. Thanks.
See ya. Thank you for having us.
Thanks again to John and Jimmy for being on the show this week. Let's quickly move on to podcast news. So, I'm not always the fastest at finding new shows, which is kind of funny, right? Well, there's a Heroes of the Storm podcast out there called Heroes Forge that has been around for some time now. They're on episode 16, and folks, this is a show unlike any other. Each week, co-hosts Jeff and Kristen give their take on an idea for a new hero to enter the Nexus. Along with a different guest each week, they have forged ideas for heroes like Bastion from Overwatch, Belial from Diablo, Phoenix from StarCraft, Garrosh Hellscream from WoW, and much more. You can find the show at heroesforge.club, as well as on SoundCloud or your podcast app of choice, and you can follow the show at Forge Heroes on Twitter. If you're a fan of the Burning Legion and all things Warlocks and such, you can catch this week's episode and you'll hear Kyle Ferguson from Into the Nexus lend his thoughts on how to bring Mal'Ganis to life in Heroes of the Storm. Elsewhere in the podcast Nexus, John Jagger from Core pays a visit to the Lords of the Storm to talk about initial Tracer impressions, tournament news, and much more. You can find that show online at lordsofthestorm.libsyn.com and in all the other usual places. As Overwatch gets closer, we're seeing more opportunities for content creators to talk with the developers of the game. It's not all about Jeff Kaplan, folks. Overwatch's principal designer Jeff Goodman spent some time talking to Garrett, Patrick, and Chanman on the latest episode of The Overwatchers. You can follow that show on Twitter at OverwatchCast, and you can listen to them at amove.tv. Okay, I promise I'm going to get to some WoW podcasts. In fact, let's talk about a few right now. There is a new episode of Storm Chasers of Azeroth out there, episode 102. though I wonder if it might be called Storm Chaser of Azeroth going forward. Jim Gleason, aka Kedron, talks about the new direction the show is taking, and even takes a call at the end of the show that might confuse people. Well, it didn't confuse me, but hey, I have a weird brain. You can find this solo podcast at stormchasersofazeroth.squarespace.com. Well-known WoW YouTuber Asmongold makes an appearance on episode 104 of Pwncast, which can be heard on iTunes, Stitcher, and everywhere else. Ability pruning, the current state of the game, and the game's future in Legion are just a few of the topics covered on this show, which you can follow on Twitter at ThePwnCast, spelled T-H-E-P-W-N-C-A-S-T. Another notable guest appearance on a WoW podcast this past week was on episode 15 of WoW Challenges, where Stone and Leda were joined by Aprillion from Control-Alt-WoW. Don't forget that that show records every Saturday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time over at twitch.tv/WoWChallenges. The days between seasons in Diablo 3 are full of reminiscing of goals that were conquered, planning for the conquests to come, and spending hours upon hours of sorting last season's mail into your regular stash storage. Trust me, I know. Breja and Jen talk about this and much more on episode 117 of the Shattered Soulstone podcast, available on your app of choice and always at shatteredsoulstone.com. Now, as I was working on the weekly podcast roundup this past week for Overwatch, a very curious thing happened. The title for Heroes Never Die was Reinforce My Dong. Right after that in the list, High Noon's episode title was Let's Talk About My Dong. And the title for the initiative after that was Clever My Dong Title. So, what's the deal with My Dong? In Overwatch, apparently, My Dong is one word, and it's the name of a European esports team. There was plenty of reason to talk about them, apparently, so to find out more about My Dong, check out Heroes Never Die, High Noon, or The Initiative. I swear I have the mind of a 12-year-old sometimes. If you play Hearthstone, you can be sure that plenty of podcasts are going to be breaking down the last batch of revealed cards. One of the first shows to do that is Velen's Chosen, which may or may not be changing its name to Power Word Tentacles when it's all said and done. You can listen to a 2-hour-long Old Gods extravaganza on iTunes, Stitcher, and at velenschosen.com. Follow that show on Twitter at Velen's Podcast. The Angry Chicken will be doing its own big Old Gods launch episode this Wednesday during a live stream at 3 p.m. Eastern Time at twitch.tv/amovetv. That's a bit of a change from its usual recording time. Of course, if you miss it live, you can always find the shows after the fact at amove.tv. And finally, the hosts of everyone's favorite Zero Casting Cost Hearthstone podcast interview Orange from Team Archon on episode 70 of The Golden Wisp. This is a great show to listen to if you care about the tournament scene for the game, and you can find the show in all the usual places as well as goldenwisp.posthaven.com. Now, normally this would be about the time where I wrap up the show and say all the usual closing stuff that I do, but we gotta take a couple more minutes here and talk about feedback, because I got some feedback from a couple of you, and I'm really excited about that. The first bit of feedback is an email from Matt, who plays in both AIE and CTR. It was a little bit of a long email, but I'm going to take parts of it here and read it. He says, I agree with your opinion about how what people may really miss about the vanilla, Burning Crusade, and Wrath days of WoW isn't as much the gameplay, although I think the old-school challenge factor definitely plays a big role, but how there was a much greater need for communicating with other players in order to achieve your goals in the game, and with it a much greater sense of community in WoW. As for the shutdown of Nostalrius itself, as far as I'm concerned, there really is no discussion about whether it was right for Blizzard to take the action they did. WoW is their intellectual property, and they have not only a right but an obligation to defend it against infringement. That being said, I definitely feel for the folks who were playing on Nostalrius and enjoyed revisiting the old days of WoW. Part of me definitely wishes I had been part of the WoW community in those early days. I think that for the current iterations of the game, Blizzard should definitely look into some way of renewing that old-school sense of community and the need to communicate with other players to progress in the game, along with bumping up maybe a tiny bit of the old-school challenge and increasing the amount of endgame content in the expansions going forward so we don't run into a situation like we did with Warlords. Before I comment on Matt's email, because it's kind of connected, I want to play the voicemail that I got from Spanky Hunter, who is one of the patrons of the show. I'm actually just going to play the first half of this, though, and this is what Spanky Hunter had to say.
Hey Rose, Mickey here. You asked for some comments on what you were talking about, the private server and all that stuff, so yeah, thought I'd send you a quickie. I think you pretty much got it spot on, you know. A lot of people with nostalgia, they want that sense of community back, and that's, you know, you pretty much said it all. The only thing I think you've missed out on is, as gamers, we've changed over the years. There's no way in hell a lot of us play now the same way we did back when WoW was first, and I think that has a lot to do with the sense of community as well. I mean, even if say they magically clicked their fingers and got rid of Group Finder and got rid of LFR, so the only way you could do the content was to get in a guild and you'd have to do stuff again, I reckon about 80% of player bases would just go, nope, I'm out of here because I ain't got time for that. There's this real attitude in the games right now where they just don't want to sacrifice the time. They're happy just to go, nope, I'm off to play something that's shorter and easier that I don't have to spend a lot of time for. I don't have to sacrifice my time, like HOTS, where they just sort of go, yep, I'm in and out in 20 minutes and I'm done. You know, there's a real trying to hide from other people in your guild or in your group of friends that want to do that stuff. You know, that's there as well. So I think even if they brought the means back, I don't think the community would come back because of that. But yeah, I think it's just we all change as we get older, and what do? You know, game has to adapt around it. Whether it's good or bad, it's just the way life is.
Thanks for the voicemail, Spanky. Now, Matt and Spanky both make good points, and I want to talk a little bit more about the point that Spanky made, in that even if we had that kind of server where there was no group finder or no raid finder, not a lot of people would necessarily be all too keen on that kind of system for organization and stuff like that, because we have gotten older. Our time has become more precious. And I get that. I still think there'd be an audience who would play that kind of game, just as it's quite obvious that there are thousands of people who play the Nostalrius. I'm just talking about, like, for myself, what I would want. And I'm not even too sure if I would stay around playing a game in which there was no group finder or raid finder. So maybe I'm a little hypocritical when I say what I want is a game without group finder or raid finder. One thing that I have wondered is, as an audience, as a player base, yes, we've grown older and our time has become more valuable. But what about, you know, the younger generation? What about the group of gamers who are the age we were at when we first started playing World of Warcraft? What about them? Don't they have all the time in the world to game like we used to game? And I wonder why MMOs just don't seem to support that kind of gameplay and camaraderie and stuff like that. And then I realized, well, our younger generation pretty much is raised on League of Legends. So not only has the older audience had a situation where time feels like it's far more precious and valuable, but the generation after us is just more used to games that are quick, jump in, jump out, sessions that last anywhere from half an hour to 45 minutes, if even that long, as opposed to 3-4 hour long game sessions. So maybe we're well past the golden age of MMOs, and I just have to accept that. Anyhow, Spanky, thank you for the voicemail, and Matt, thank you for your email. I do appreciate the feedback from both of you, and if any of you listeners ever want to send an email with feedback about anything I say on the show, Rolling Restart or otherwise, you can send those emails to realmpodcast@gmail.com. And that sound means your update is complete. It's time to press the play button and play a bunch of Standard Hearthstone and open so many Old Gods packs. As always, thanks for downloading and listening this week. If you'd like to support what I'm doing here, you can go to patreon.com/realmpodcast. As always, all the money I get from Patreon goes back into the show for hosting costs, giveaways, etc., etc. By the way, next giveaway for the show will be announced next week, and it's a pretty big one. As always, feel free to leave your comments about the show on iTunes, Stitcher, or realm-maintenance.com. Realm-maintenance.com is also where to go to find the weekly podcast roundup or sign up for the RSS feed. If you're a podcaster and have news about your show or a promo to send in, or if you're a listener with questions about Blizzard games or podcasts for those games, send those emails to realmpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow the show on Twitter @realmpodcast or follow myself @Rowow, spelled R-H-O-W-O-W. Next week, you'll hear me talk some more about Hearthstone with one of the co-hosts from the Coin Concede podcast. Until then, I've been Ro, you've been you, and Realm Maintenance has been completed. This podcast has been the presentation of Realm Maintenance Productions, copyright 2016, and is distributed by Signals Media. You can find this show and other great podcasts at signalsmedia.com. Certain audio portions of this podcast belong entirely to Blizzard Entertainment, and no copyright infringement is intended. Thanks again to John and Jimmy from The Payload for being on the show this week. Thanks to everyone in the community for the retweets and for getting the word out about the show. And as always, thanks to you for listening. It's the end of the show, and that means it's time for the roundup. This is an insanely quick rundown of every Blizzard podcast I'm aware of that's produced a show between April 17th and 23rd of 2016. For general Blizzard podcasts, we have All Things Azeroth, Battle Chat, Battle Tagged, Blizzard Cast, Blizzard Watch, The Blue Recluse, Epic Fail, Frozen Nerds, The Instance, Lagging Balls, Storm Chasers of Azeroth, The Sundering, The Training Dummies, and Victor Sanctum. World of Warcraft podcasts include Azeroth Roundtable, Valrez Bears, Behind the Avatar, Bind on Equip, Chaos Portal, The Converted, Emerald Dreamcast, Geeks of Azeroth, Gnome's Eye View, Horde for Life, Kerncast, The Lorecraft Podcast, Lorewatch, Middlefinger Podcast, Pwncast, Reigns of Azeroth, Stopcast, Torn Think Tank, Unshackled Fury, Warcraft Off the Record, The Worgen's Howl, WoW Challenges, WoW Talk, WoWhead Weekly, and Wormcast. Hearthstone podcasts include 1600 Dust, The Angry Chicken, Angry Chicken Brawl, Coin Concede, Golden Wisp, Hearth of the Cards, Hearth Coach, Hearth Core, Hero Power Cast, The Light Forge, Legend of the Innkeeper, Top Deck Kings, The Unstable Portal, Value Town, Belna's Chosen, Walk to Work, and Well Met. For you lovers of Diablo, there is the Diablo 3 podcast, Shattered Soulstone, and Westmarch Workshop. Heroes of the Storm podcasts include Core, Dirty Casual, Eye on the Storm, Heroes of the Storm Power Hour, Hots Cast, Into the Nexus, Lords of the Storm, Stormcast, Town Hall Heroes, and Heroes Forge. And finally, Overwatch podcasts include The Cavalry, The Guardians, Heroes Never Die, High Noon, The Initiative, Overcast, The Overcast, Overtalk, Overview, Overwatchers, and Payload Podcast. For links to all the shows and archives of this podcast, check out realm-maintenance.com.
Fall in, soldiers. This is the Rated Battleground. I'm Winstead, the Battleground Commander, and this is your Tactical Minute.
Let the battle begin.
Winning can be a lot of fun. As a matter of fact, winning is usually what we want to do whenever we queue up for a battleground or an arena. Unfortunately, that can't always happen. Sometimes we face an opponent who's just too skilled. The tactics that they're employing just flat out beat us. And it feels like at times there's nothing we can do. And that's okay. We can't expect to win them all. What we can do in those losing situations is admire the enemy. Look at their tactics. Look at the skills that they're using. Look and see what they're doing that caused your team to lose. And then try and take those skills and those tactics and implement them into your own plan. And who knows, maybe something that you learn from your enemy will actually help you in the long run. And whatever you do, don't go toxic, because that just ruins the gaming experience for everyone involved. If you have any questions or comments about this Tactical Minute, feel free to get a hold of me at Winstead84 on Twitter. Or come join the show at The Rated Battleground, found on iTunes, Podbean, and Stitcher. And now, here are your orders. You are to log in, queue up, and go for the win. But if you can't, just remember that the only time you really lose is when you give up on the game.
This podcast is a part of the Signals Media All-Star Network. For more information on this and other fine shows, go to signalsmedia.com. It's okay to stick our stuff in your ears. Really?